Y'all remember how old that computer is, Miss Julie? Do you remember how old that is? That computer there? How much? 4 or 5? He said it wasn't working about half the time. You think it's the net or the computer? Anyhow, if y'all think it's a computer, let's just get another one as soon as we can. That's just the best way to do that. And then we'll take, and deer season will be here pretty soon. We'll take time shooting at this one and seeing if we, no. All right, take your Bible, if you will. Let me see if I've got this thing turned on here yet. Is that it? Thank you very much. All right, take your Bible if you will, please. We're going to be looking tonight in the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter number 119. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. I hope you've had a good and prosperous day. And let me tell you right now, no doubt that the signs of the time and the days are evil that we live in. It's good to have a little refreshing every now and then from the Lord. All right, Psalms 119, verse number 111. If you're able to stand, we'll look there in verse number 111 and 112. And here's what the psalmist said: Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes. And by that, he's talking about the commands, the demands, the laws of the Lord, always, even unto the end. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray that now you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Bless these requests that have been mentioned, and thank you for having heard already and answered prayer on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while tonight on anniversary time. You know, when you begin to look into this, we're drawing near to the 29th anniversary that since we began the church that was here. And I want to tell you, we've seen a lot come, a lot go in 29 years, but buddy, we bless the Lord for how good God's been, that he's ever been faithful all the way around. Do you realize, though, that whenever you look into this Bible passage, you find out is that I always tell everybody the same thing. And that if they're going to leave and they need to leave, hey, you feel like that's what God's will is for your life, fine. But if you get out there and find out you miss God, don't be ashamed to come on back. Hey, we'll love you right on just like. You see what I'm talking about? But now pride won't let people do that. You know what happens to them? They get out there, and today some of those people, they don't go anywhere. And if they do, their kids don't go anywhere. Let me just tell you right now, when you get out of the will of God, wherever that is, it's a downhill run for you, and no good can come of it. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that though others have come and gone, yet the Lord's ever the same. I got to tell you something, is that the Lord has sustained us all these years through all the things that we've had to. In fact is that when it's anniversary time, it's a time of reflection. It's a time to think back how good it's been to be in the house of God. Everybody that God has saved, everybody that God has added, everybody that God's prompted up, everybody that God's given revival. It's always good to be able to reflect on how good God's been. I mean, look where God's brought you from. And look where God's brought me from, where I would have been, could have been, had it not been for the grace of God. I want to say to you that, if you will, that as you begin to look into this lesson here, is that you'll find out is that every now and again we ought to just stop and take time to reflect a little bit, see how good God's been, and count our blessings, name them one by one, and be surprised at what God has really done. I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that in this lesson that we're looking at, is that there's a time to reflect on what God's been doing. You know, we're right out here in the middle of nowhere. Now we're on the highway. And, you know, this is such a cliquish, clannish county, Nacogdoches is. I've got people that hate me, that don't even know me, that's never darkened the door of the church, but they know somebody that got it up, got their feelings mad, or their rear end on their shoulder, and because they don't like me, I must not be no good. Now, that's the way it is with you, too. Fact is, I've heard some things on some of you that I wonder why I even like you. Yeah, you know what stops a lot of that junk? Yeah, well, hey, let's you and I go talk to them about it. That'll stop some of that. I just wanted to say to you that it's a blessing to me. And when I think about how good God was, you know, and of course at that time, Mr. Meadows and his wife, they were alive, and they wanted to donate this land. We first met down there in the Piggly Wiggly store, remember that? And we'd been down there, about a week when Kenneth Stone came by and said, "Preacher, I know where there's a church you can have, a church building, that is." He said, "The man's wanting to give it to me," and his name was Bill McNeese, and that's what we're sitting in here. The other stuff we've added on, but this auditorium, though we spruced up, knocked out, done a little bit of this or that, but he gave us this building. And he was dying with hepatitis, and I called him up and talked to him about it one week. He gave us the building. Wrote down that he was going to give it. Now, I'm making it out to you, preacher, so they can't never run y'all. You ought to have seen this crowd, buddy, that we had back then when I got up and said, "Brother McNeese has signed it over to me so nobody can ever run me off." I mean, they sucked up so tight you couldn't have drove a 20-penny nail in their hind end. See? I said, "But that ain't the way God does business, and so I'm going to sign this over right now to this congregation right in front of God and everybody." I just remember, you know, how good he was. He gave us that building 1 week, died the next. He told me over the phone, could barely talk, and said, "I was praying God would let me give this to an independent Baptist preacher that could build a Baptist church with it." And so that's kind of how it was. I remember back on that, and I tell this simply because, as every now and again people may want to know, they were working out here on this highway here on 59, and they had it tore up from one end to the other end, and we had this building that we needed a pad to put it down, and somebody walked in up there at the cafe, and Forrest Lee Metter asked them the question and said, "Hey, you ain't got somebody could shoot a transit and maybe bring a load of dirt or just maybe a maintainer and slide some dirt. We're trying to build a church and we don't have a lot of money. We're just getting started." And the guy said, "Do you want me to take care of it?" "Yeah or no?" He went in there and looked at it. He said, "You're going to need more than a couple of loads of dirt." And said, "Well, no, we don't have a lot. Do you want it done or not?" And he said, "Yeah, well, if you got time." And he said out to his foreman, "Tell him not to bother me. I'm going to do a little mission work." And I can't remember, but I think they brought 30 truck trailer loads in and shot this pad here, took a roller, rolled it over, and got it ready to put this building on. And make no mistake about it, the hand of God was in that all the way. And he told him at the end of it, he said, "Hey, it's good you caught me when you did, because if you'd asked me last week, I was behind schedule and couldn't stop. If you ask me next week, we're finished up already and we're gone. It's just by chance." And we didn't try to correct him. God bless you and Mr. Chance, whoever that is. You see how God does that? And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that I like to reflect on that every now and again. I can see the hand of God every step of the way in it. You that came and you that started out and then you that have been added to it. I just every now and again reflect on how good God's been, even in the midst of a storm and people fighting at us tooth and toenail. Number two, not only is a time of reflection, but it's a time of rejoicing. Did you notice in our text there, he says, "Thy testimonies I've taken forever." I'm going to tell you, and he said, "They are the rejoicing of my heart." Now, let me tell you, there's been a lot of people got stirred up, and in their head, they want to do a little something and do a little outward thing. They call for God. But if God ever grabs hold of you, he'll hide his word deep down on the inside of your heart. And let me tell you right now, it'll be your heritage, and it'll be something that you'll have not only at the moment, but forever. Notice there's a passage in Psalm chapter 5, and you ain't got to turn there. You can listen. It's in verse 11. But I can't remember exactly all that it says, and I wanted to read it to you, if nothing else. But in the book of Psalm chapter number 5, and about verse number 11, I like each psalm because they rejoice my heart and because of the fact that it reminds me of how good God's been and what he's given us. Look in verse 11. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Have you trusted the Lord? If so be you have, then you can rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them, and let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. I want to tell you something. Is your shout gone tonight? Now, if your shout's gone, it's because of the fact that you took your eyes off him. Now, if you're a child of God, you've been saved forever. God saved you, God sealed you until the day of redemption. And let me say, make no mistake about it, we ought to have a shout that lasts forever. But you know, every now and again, it dwindles, doesn't it? And that's the reason why we have to have revival every now and again, is because of the fact that it reminds us that what God is doing and what God's already done. And it reminds us that we're his and that he's ours and lives on the inside of our heart. The Bible said that when you're rejoicing, over in Psalm 9, about verse number 2, he said, I rejoice in thee, O Lord. I'm glad to know we can rejoice. In chapter 9, verse 14, he says, I want to rejoice in thy salvation. I don't know about you, but I like to every now and again just reflect and rejoice and thinking how good God has been to snatch me as a brand from the burning and to save my soul. Now, over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 20, and about verse number 5, here's what he said. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Whose flag are you waving tonight? I hope it's the banner of the Lord. He said, the Lord fulfilled all thy petitions. In other words, God, whatever petition you've had, whatever prayer you've offered, God has fulfilled thy petitions. I was thinking about, if every one of these boys and girls that are here, if you're not 29, then the church is older than you are. But I remember standing in there looking through the windows at them after they were born. And I remember praying and asking God, and boy, everybody out praying in the behalf of our families and praying God's bringing new life into the world. Somebody said, my word, y'all got a lot of young people. I said, yeah, we got a lot of young married people and they have babies. And I tell you right now, it's a slow way to build a church, but it sure is a good way, see. And as a result of that, you'll find out is that we rejoice in the salvation of God and in the petition that he's granted in our behalf. Number three tonight, not only that, but these revival or anniversary services that we're going to have, it's a time of reaching out. It's time you can reach out to your family. Whenever you're asking, hey, listen, we're going to be having a meeting there. I don't like y'all's preacher. I don't either, but we've got a visiting evangelist. See? It's a time of reaching out. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that it's a time to reach out to family. It's a time to reach out to friends. It's a time to reach out to acquaintances that are round about. You know, every now and again, and what you have to do is you have to be kind of sharp. Used to, back years ago when I was over in Louisiana, we went to just about everybody's meeting that we possibly could. Some were good, some not so good. We tried to go and be help, but I noticed that it was a one-way street. Hey, we're going to have Brother So-and-so come in. I like it. Well, it's a long ways over where you're at. It's not any further than from where we're at to where you're at. Of course, I made a lot of enemies, but, you know, it's just, I'd been better off. Yeah, I understand. I understand. I got to say to you that, if you will, it's a time of reaching out. Time to reach out for somebody. Now, there's no telling how many. There's no telling how many people that we have visited, how many tracts that we have put out, how many circulars that we... Miss Julie worked night and day one time. Buddy, we put them and used the U.S. mail. Not one person. I remember in Louisiana, we passed out over 5,000 pieces of literature at one time. And let me tell you something, friend. 92% Roman Catholic, you better have something more than that. Unless you're going to have a beer bus to draw some of them in, I guarantee you they're not coming. We have a dinner on the ground and buy people, hey, we're going to have dinner on the ground, you ought to come. And I can't tell you how many have called me up and said, now, I've been invited to a dinner on the ground. What is it exactly y'all are going to be having? Oh, I see. Yeah, well, it's going to be some of everything. It's potluck. Was there going to be any preaching? I said, unless the Lord comes. You might want to come and be praying the Lord will come while you're there. See? I got to say to you that, if you will, there's a time that we ought to reach out to a lost and dying world. Do you know somebody that's lost tonight? Well, if they draw their last breath, they're going to bust hell wide open. I'm not glad to say that. I don't have any joy whatsoever in that. That's just the truth of the matter. And you can't never tell when the next time that you ask somebody somewhere that they might give ear to it and take heed to it. Last but not least, it's a time of refreshing. Now, I want to tell you right now, it's just a good time all the way around to be able to go out there in a fellowship building and sit down and talk and visit and one with another and get up and move around and visit with somebody else. And that's one thing about a fellowship. If you're sitting down at a table and somebody says something you don't like or you get mad, you can get up and go over at another table. Yeah. If you get a hold of somebody that just wants to talk both your ears off, and you go to thinking, my, these people, this person needs somebody to talk to. You can just go ahead and get up and slip on out of the way. And sometimes if you bring a disguise, you can put it on where they can't find you again right on. I want to say it's a time of refreshing. Do you realize or know that every business that's in the world that's a big corporation, they have a refresher course every now and again? Now in the house of God, what God does, He does forever. He just wants to refresh us and remember where He brought us from, where we would have been had it not been for the marvelous grace of God. In Psalms 85, verse 6, the Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Now, if you want some help from God, you can get it. If you don't, you won't. Don't matter how many other people get revived, get refreshed, get their shout back. Amen. If you don't want nothing from God, He'll see that you don't get it. I was thinking about, as we get ready to close tonight, that every now and again, you know, we're making memories. And I look at all these boys and girls that have been added and that have been birthed in. And boy, I thank God and watch them growing up now, seeing the talent they've got. Singing, being able to read, being able to write. And boy, I'm just telling you, it's good to be in the house of God. And, you know, every now and again, there's some things. And, you know, if things slip up on your blind side, people will never forget it. If they didn't love you, they wouldn't even bring it up. They wouldn't. But the fact they do love you, every now and again, they'll bring up one of them shenanigans that have been pulled or something that took place. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I just am. And let me say to you that, if you will, if you're going to dish it out, you need to learn to take a little. Now, I dish it out, but every now and again I have to take a little. Don't I really like? I dish it out better than I take it in. But it's always good to be able to come down to the house of God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You'd be surprised out there in the world, I'm talking about in this religious-minded world, how many people that do not have a clue what it means to be born into the family of God. I'm glad I know the difference. I'm glad you know the difference. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our